welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. We're glad you're with us on this Thursday. Our guest today is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him during our next half hour. You can call those in to 765-496-1999. You can send emails to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, Mr. Mayor, we've reached you today at the same phone number we always reach you at, but you are in a different location than we normally reach you at.
Yes, Dan, we've officially transferred out of Old Stoney City Hall. The gates are up around our historic City Hall, and our preservation efforts have officially commenced. You know, anytime you're moving, especially out of a building that's over 100 years old, you're going to have a couple snags, but the city's worked very well together as a team to make this a reality. But before we dig into that, I want you to know I think about you often. I value our time during this program, and I was actually at a family event watching a Super Bowl, and my grandmother by marriage, Ruth Morrison, came up. She told me a really neat story about WBAA and NPR in West Lafayette. She actually met her husband, Marvin Morrison, in the lobby of your radio station, and my grandmother is a spry 87 years old, so she always has fond memories. WBAA helped spark some love and a lifetime that was full of love, and now she's also an annual donor to NPR. And so I wanted to give her a special shout-out to Ruth Morrison and thank her for all she has done for the community. And WBAA has had a very special part in Ruth's life. I just thought that was really neat.
Well, we are certainly thankful to her and to you for being a part of this radio station, and it is people like the both of you who keep us going. You mentioned trying to get everybody moved from one place to another and the logistics of that. You've had to move to a number of different buildings. Is that correct?
Yes, we have, Stan. So this is going to be about an 8 to 9 month process in terms of preserving Old Stoney. I do want to caution folks, though, anytime you go into a construction project, you're going to find things that inevitably you did not expect to be there. So I'm cautioning people, although we're laying out this 9 month timeline, to be patient, and of course we'll keep people up to date. But the IT building that is located at 1050 East Washington Avenue between the street department and Frankfort City Light and Power is going to be housing my office, the mayor's office, and our clerk treasurer's offices for the next 8 to 9 months approximately. We will also have all of our city meetings here, so from city council to board of works to BZA to city plan commission will be held here. Our Frankfort Building Services Department and Clinton County Area Plan Commission, along with Veterans Affairs, have been relocated to 51 West Clinton Street in our downtown. That's the former United Way building. And then areas like the Area 4 Agency on Aging and Community has been relocated. The Clinton County Republican Party has been relocated. So several switches, but we've made sure to put all these updates on our website, frankfort-in.gov. And if people are having an issue with contacting or locating any of these offices, they can always reach out to my office at 654-7332, and we will direct them in the right location.
You noticed that something that I did, too, which was that the county Republican headquarters were part of this move. And that was an interesting one to me because it would seem like that actually helps in some way the perception of the city, because it would seem a little bit problematic to have the mayor's office and any party headquarters, regardless of whether it's Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green, whatever, next to the mayor, because if you've got one and not others, that gives an interesting perception, does it not, that there might be some sort of closeness or favoritism or something like that. So does this help you having that separation?
Well, I can tell you, in Clinton County, we have plenty of fights even within the Republican Party. So I definitely wouldn't say there's favoritism there. This is something I can certainly understand that question, Stan. When I came into office in 2012, the Republican Party had already been there for a number of years. So I can't even give you an exact date on when the Republican Party moved into Old Stoney. I know it's been longstanding practice in the community. It's never been challenged to the point of bringing it to the Board of Works or the City Council. And I haven't had any feedback from other parties, such as the Democrats or even the Libertarians, in Clinton County. So, yes, I believe it's a little bit unusual, but it's something that's been grandfathered in and accepted over the years.
So in 8 or 9 months, do you see that you and your office and the Republican Party's offices will again be near one another? Or is that the appropriate time to say, well, maybe you guys should find a different place to go?
Well, we're on different floors. So we're not right next to each other. And the office isn't staffed 8 hours a day. The GOP chairman comes and goes. You know, the way I look at it is we have plenty of things that really need to be fixed in our community, from decaying infrastructure to roads and streets, to needing our various utilities to be upgraded to bolster our potential to bring more industry to Frankfort. It's really not a fight that I want to pick, or an issue that I think is close to the constituency's heart. That being said, you know, if I start getting approached about it, or if it becomes an issue in the community, that's another thing. As mayor, you know, of course I will address that in the most diplomatic way possible. But since my time being in office, I have not received one constituent phone call that's even of concern to the people. So this next 4 years, my big thing is I really want to prioritize the things we need to be looking at, and that is our roads, that is our utility capacity, that is bringing good jobs to Frankfort and not getting drugged down in local politics and side fights that ultimately halt our progress.
Well, it's a perception issue. I mean, yours is certainly a right-leaning community, and so it makes sense that there are going to be more people who would agree with having the mayor near the Republican Party headquarters than those who would disagree. But I know that you are someone who cares about perceptions, and so, I mean, is this something that you want to maybe head off at the pass before you get a call saying, why are you in so close with the party?
Again, I think it's a perception issue if the people that I serve bring it to my attention and they're upset about it. This is the first time I've even had anyone mention it to me. It's just been such long-standing practice in our community. You know, we want to be a good landlord. We try to offer good spaces for good folks. That includes our Veterans Affairs office. So I'm always open. If people listening to this show or the people of Clinton County think it's an issue, we have plenty of community meetings. We have public comment sections in Board of Works and City Council meetings. If they want to bring it to me, I absolutely will look at it. But it has not been a perception issue to this point in time. There's other things that should demand our attention as leadership that are more important than things like that. That's my personal feeling.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your comments and questions. Call us at 496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. So we talked last month on this program about the downtown revitalization grant that you guys have gotten to study what you might be able to do with your downtown. You had a public meeting about it last week. I'm curious about your takeaways from that meeting.
I have very high expectations of this process. In Frankfort, we've got to get very serious about investing in some amenities. You and I have talked about that to increase and bolster our quality of place. Right now, young professional couples, we're not giving them a reason to move to Frankfort. Yes, jobs are a part of that. Diversification in the job market's a part of that. We also need to build a community that's walkable, that has amenities like an outdoor amphitheater, that has maybe a splash pad, that has second-story executive living opportunities in our downtown. And I believe those investments should start in our core. Downtown Frankfort is Frankfort, and what's good for the downtown neighborhood is good for the outlying neighborhoods. So I've been very candid that this process, I think, is really going to open up doors for opportunity for our success, and we've got to take the advantage of this now. If we do not do something now, we will lose our community. And I'm very serious about going to our redevelopment commission, going to our city council, and lobbying for the ideas that are produced through this key group of 30 to 35 stakeholders. We have small business owners, we have parents of young children, we have building owners, we have Main Street leadership, we have Chamber of Commerce leadership, we have industrial leadership. We've got a very diverse set of eyes. We have several young people that are in high school that are a part of this group. I want to know what they want to see in the downtown. And once we come up with a vision, we need to go after it like our life depends upon it, because future success in Frankfort is going to be defined by our ability to attract younger, middle-class, professional individuals to Frankfort. And that's what I want to do through this process. This is the start. We're shaking it up.
And that's a very similar message to the one that Todd Barton has been telling us in this program for the last year, as he's been applying for and eventually getting a Stellar Communities grant in Crawfordsville. But that's not something you have to fall back on, and that's something that even in places like Delphi and Greencastle, smaller communities, mid-sized communities like yours, they've only been able to target individual areas of the community. They haven't been able to make wholesale change. I mean, the facades on the Courthouse Square in Greencastle look far nicer now than they used to, but that was where the money went to Greencastle, was that downtown area. So you've got a number of issues in terms of street paving and making downtown nicer and making your parks nicer. Are you going to have to pick and choose, especially if you don't have something like a large influx of stellar money, of which area of the city you focus on, and has downtown become that de facto pick?
Well, I think that's why it's really important that we came up with a fiscal plan for the next 5 years to balance our budget, to give our departments to meet their needs, the needs that they have, and also to meet the needs of our various neighborhoods. Downtown isn't the only sector of Frankfort that needs improvement. That fiscal plan lays out in a very balanced way key pieces of investments and revenue streams to meet the needs in the various areas of our city. Yes, we're focusing on the downtown, but it does not trump any other neighborhood in our community. We have different initiatives that are going on there, and our budget and our spending needs to reflect that. Yes, the vision that we come up with in our downtown, that's going to have to fit like a puzzle piece into that five-year fiscal plan, because at the end of the day, you know, we don't want to fall away from our conservative roots. We don't want to borrow against future income streams. We don't want to put ourselves in a financial position that's going to put burden on the taxpayers. So this all has to come together in a very sound and responsible fiscal plan, but we can't fiscally plan until we have a vision nailed down for our downtown, cost estimates, rendering, and a general consensus from the community that, hey, yeah, we can get behind our tax dollars going into this. That's what makes my job so challenging is building a consensus, building a vision that everyone can be a part of and get around and lobby and advocate for at the end of the day. And I think that's what I hope that's what this process does. So when we come to the spending and implementation portion of it, that we have enough general buy-in from the community that they will support that investment of their tax dollars going into this overall vision for the core of downtown Frankfort.
You mentioned that you've got a few dozen stakeholders who are part of this downtown discussion. Is it possible that they are going to come up with so many things that quite a few of them are going to be disappointed because there's more that they want to do than can reasonably be done?
I think that's always a challenge in groups like this, and I'll be honest with you, Stan, I've told people to dream big. You know, I have always wanted to push the envelope in this community. I get so tired of hearing, well, that's the way we've always done things, or, you know, we're just Frankfort. We don't deserve that. We're not a Hamilton County. I hate hearing that. We need to be the best community that we can be, and we need to start doing things differently. We need to start investing in some areas that are going to attract high-tech jobs, that are going to attract young professionals. It's economic development is not just about the tax abatements. It's not about the tax increment financing. I hope we come up with such a large dream and a vision for our downtown that, sure, we're going to have to pare it back responsibly, but we build something so beautiful and so attractive that the next company that comes here wants to come to Frankfort because of the environment that they're moving into, because of the workforce that we're attracting and the type of people that are living here, and not because we are giving them a 10-year tax abatement on a graduated scale from 100% down to 0%. That's eventually what I want to get to. I mean, the state of Indiana last year alone, I think, gave away over $1.2 billion in incentives and tax abatements. You know, you think about that money, if those abatements could have went back to our schools, could have went back to our roads. We need to build communities in a state that employers and small businesses want to go to because it's an environment of innovation and inspiration and an environment that attracts the right kind of employees that will generate revenue and forward movement of their product line. And that's, in a nutshell, that's what I'm trying to do through this process.
We've talked a lot on this program about remaking Frankfort going forward into the future, and it occurs to me one of the things we don't talk a lot about is the time frame. What is your estimation of how long it's going to be before you can reform the way the downtown looks, before you can get to some of these long-term projects? In other words, what's your conception of how long it'll be before Frankfort gets to be the type of community you're describing?
Well, I think we've already we've taken some steps. With the Ivy Tech project in the downtown, a lot of people, you know, told me I was crazy, told community volunteers that we were crazy, that, you know, we took that thing from idea to implementation in about 1 year and 3 months. You know, we fundraised $2.1 million. We brought the county and the city together. So, you know, we learned through that process and we got some of our chops. The biggest thing that I've learned in the past 4 years is, Stan, is government is it's not efficient. It's terribly slow. And as a young person, that frustrates me. So on day one, I think the one thing that's in my favor, having 4 years underneath my belt, I know how important it is to get on these things early. And that's why I wanted to start this process in February of 2016 so we could really dig into this. I would like to see a majority of this plan, or at least the funding mechanisms and the renderings and the bid process, happen in the next 4 years. And if all of the construction isn't 100% completed, that's okay, because we're going to have to phase some of this in over time. But ultimately what my hope is, Stan, is that we have forward movement happening in such a way that the next mayor, the next city council, can't do anything but continue to implement the vision, because we have such a buildup of stakeholders and people that are on fire about the process that they're going to continue to hold those elected officials accountable in seeing this process through to the end.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes today on Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. You can call in your questions at 496-1999, tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter, or email them to ask@WBAA.org. We did get a listener call in, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. This person wants to know how the city distinguishes between different types of crime, specifically whether Frankfort police handle crimes perpetrated by a stranger against someone differently versus, say, domestic violence or disputes between neighbors. He says his perception is that those types of crime are treated the same way, and I know that we just did a story here in Lafayette with Mayor Tony Rozworski, and they announced their crime numbers, and the biggest spike in crime in 2015 in Lafayette was among people who seemed to know each other. And this person seems to be worried more about random crimes against people by someone you may not know. What is your perception of how the city handles one type of crime versus the other?
Well, to be honest with you, I believe that question should be asked of our police chief. I know that he would be happy to talk to you about that. The way I view it is every crime should be approached in a very objective manner. I'm sure that the basic conceptual way that our police officers approach a crime, probably it should be somewhat similar from a mechanical standpoint. I know domestic violence is of concern in our community, and sometimes those crimes of passion that happen between family members that an individual knows, that an individual is in a relationship with, is prevalent. I can tell you that we have seen crime levels of you and I, as you and I have discussed, overall have decreased over the past 4 years. That being said, Stan, you know, I think that what our police department's trying to do and what our administration is trying to champion is a connection between citizens and our police department. We're a smaller police department. At any given point in time, we have around 3 patrol officers on the streets. So we're trying to host more coffee with the cop meetings. I know our police chief is going to hold 4 community meetings this year. So what I'm going to advocate for that listener to do is keep an eye on our Facebook pages, keep an eye on when those community meetings are going to happen, and come, be engaged, let us know what you think. If we can build more of a consensus of what people are seeing, the people that we serve, that's going to allow us to direct our forces and our policies in a way that meet the needs of the community. We want to listen, be proactive, and react to what people are seeing, feeling, hearing, and what the perception is. So I would encourage that person to stay engaged, keep an eye on our community meetings, and be a part of this process, because we do value your opinion when it comes to items like this.
You talked about interacting with the police on social media, and that was something I wanted to ask you about, because you and I have been talking on this program the last couple of months about your city gradually moving toward using more police body cameras and having discussions about, well, to whom do we release that footage, if anybody. So I was really interested to see that the police last month did a Twitter event that they called Tweet from the Beat, basically allowing people to watch live tweeting of a few hours of evening police work. But I wanted to ask you about some of the privacy concerns, because it seems to me that there would be some similar privacy concerns there that there would be with police body camera footage. In other words, what do you show? Do you show people's faces? Do you show driver's license or driver's plate numbers? What are you doing to try to address some of the privacy concerns, but at the same time show that outreach you were just talking about?
Yeah, great question, Stan. So in a department of our size, you know, that footage and privacy is very important to me. I believe that the Department of Seattle, Washington has a YouTube channel that you can go on and you can see 100% of their body camera footage. The difference is they have a staff that redacts all of the faces, the nameplates, the license plates, all of the above, so they can do that. Unfortunately, we don't have the technological support to be able to do that. So this is why we must be very careful moving forward, and I think in what is released, I know our state legislature is working on that, because people's privacy, their identity, the layout of their home, the layout of their property must be kept very, very secure. What we're trying to do with Tweet the Beat and the Frankfort Police Department is kind of getting back to what the caller was calling in about. We want to engage the public. We know they have thoughts. We know they want to know what our police department is doing. We are servants to the people. So we're trying to engage the community to let them know exactly what is going on. You know, you see these crises events that are happening in Ferguson and Baltimore. We never want to get to that point as a society. We feel as though in Frankfort, if we can communicate better with our citizenry, if we can communicate well with them, get them on the same page, garner their ideas, that hopefully we'll head off a tragedy from occurring that's happened in other parts of our nation.
We've got another caller who has a question for you. She says she heard you talking about attracting young people to the city, and she wants to know if you have considered adopting a human relations ordinance along the lines of protecting LGBT civil rights and things like that. She says she thinks young people would be attracted to that, and that would grab some positive attention for your city from the types of people you're trying to attract.
Sure. Again, you know, as mayor, I'm here to listen and I'm here to serve. We'll, of course, take that into consideration. That's actually the first time that I've gotten a call about that it's been brought to my attention. So if it's something that our citizenry wants our city council and my office to look into, you know, we're always open to at least investigating those things and listening to the concern of the citizenry. At this point in time, we haven't received any calls, we haven't received any letters, but if I know it is of general concern, specifically to Frankfort, Indiana, it's my job to look into those things.
Well, I would say you've now received a call on it, haven't you?
We have.
And so why not lead on this? Why not, especially when there's been so much debate at the State House, why not be one of the people to put forward what is, in a number of communities, West Lafayette, Columbus, Indianapolis, Bloomington, all have similar ordinances like this. I think Fort Wayne does too. Why not be someone who can put forward, as a young person yourself, as still in your mid-20s, so you are the type of person you're trying to attract. And so in this rare case, you are the target audience, as is your wife. And so why not be out in front on something like this, where it seems fairly clear public opinion is trending in favor of having these protections? Poll after poll shows that.
Sure. Stan, if that's something we can do, at the end of the day, I want our community to be a welcoming community. We want to embrace people. My own personal belief and my faith tells me that I am to love people. We definitely do not want to be a community that's viewed at judging people. That's not what we're in a position to do. And perhaps you are exactly right. Perhaps it does need to be addressed. Up to this point in time, again, and we hold several community meetings. We're out there on social media. We have public comments at every city council meeting. It hasn't been something that our community has talked about for one reason or another. I know it's been in a big light on the national stage, in the state stage, and that's obviously something we can discuss as city leadership from a city council perspective, if there's thoughts from our citizenry, and perhaps some type of a policy could be developed. We want to be the leader on being a welcoming environment, and I hope people feel that when they come into our city. I hope that we don't have to have a piece of legislation necessarily to show that. I hope that we're showing that through action. But if it's something that people need to see even that much more formally, We're not against looking into things in terms of whatever we can do to make Frankfort a more welcoming city for all, because I can tell you as leader of this city, that's what I believe in.
Well, I think, again, it's a perception issue, isn't it? I mean, if you've got the piece of legislation, you may very well be doing everything you already can to protect the LGBT community in Frankfort, but the perception certainly is bolstered if you've got that piece of legislation.
Sure. Let me ask you, how many other local communities across the state have put that into place? What is the number of them?
I'm not sure about the number, but there are quite a few. Like I said, I know for a fact Bloomington, Indianapolis, West Lafayette, right off the top of my head. Columbus just did it, and they, and in fact, a number of these are being challenged now under the RFRA law. So that's in part where I was reminded of those several ones was from a story we recently had about that. So it is something that's going on, and it's at least a few, if not more than that. So I'm happy to find out for you what that number is. But Lafayette as well, by the way. Let me ask you quickly in our last couple of minutes about a couple of personnel things. You've recently hired a new parks superintendent. You hired from within to do that. You've got a new golf director, too. We've talked a lot about how the golf course has had its ups and downs. What do you want out of those two new people?
Sure. Well, our golf course, it's a new day for our golf course. Our golf course in our city, we've had a big community discussion on this the past 6 months, and we believe our golf course is one of those elements to provide a great quality of place for the city of Frankfort. So we are currently rebranding our golf course. It will have a new name, and the vibe we want to put out in customer service is everyone is welcome at our golf course in Frankfort. If you haven't come and you haven't played our golf course, or you've been here in the past and, you know, maybe you've turned your attention to another set of local links, I ask you, give us another chance this year. I think you're going to see a lot of changes. You're going to see customer service taken to even the next level. We want to create a good playing product and a good atmosphere for those people that come and patronize our golf course. We have hired a management firm to help the city of Frankfort with this. They have extensive knowledge and experience in running fine world-class operations around our country. They are called Oliphant, and so we look forward to continuing this. We'll have our new website launched here in the next couple weeks, and we'll have a press release regarding the new name and the new logo. So good things are to come when it comes to our golf course. And the best part about it is it's been a community-wide effort. It's taken cooperation from Clinton County, a not-for-profit group called the Clinton County Economic Advancement Foundation, the City of Frankfort. So it's been a team effort across the board, and I think you're going to see our golf course go to the next level in the years to come. And I'm excited to watch that process occur.
And real quick, why did you hire from within for your new parks superintendent?
Sure. Well, we always want to send the message to our employees, if you come here, if you work hard, you will have the opportunity to progress up the chain of command. Joel Tatum, our new parks department superintendent, is a young man with a wealth of experience when it comes to landscape architecture. I think he's an individual that's going to stay in our community. He owns a home in our community. He's raising his family, in our community. So he was just the perfect fit to lead our parks. Again, another very important quality of place component in our community. And I want to work with Joel to help see more projects occur in the parks, bulk up their budget so we can meet the needs of the citizenry and what they expect from our six city parks.
All right, real quick, Mr. Mayor, thank you, first of all. And to answer your question, 13 cities and towns in Indiana protect sexual orientation and gender identity. Another 4 protect just sexual orientation. So there's the answer to your question. Thanks so much. We'll do it again next month.
Thank you, Stan. Have a good day.
You too. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.